Well, good morning once again. As the children make their way out to children's ministry, you can make your way in your Bibles to the very first page of your Bible, Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. We've been here since January, the first Sunday in January. It's now the first Sunday in February, and we're still here in the opening verses of Genesis 1. Certainly, if you have your Bible, I'd encourage you to have it open. It'll be helpful in just a moment. The opening sentence in our Bible, it says this: "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters." I'm not going to read the rest of the chapter. We've done that in weeks prior. We did that last week, reading from Genesis 1:1 down through Genesis 2:4, kind of the bookends of the creation week, the creation account, as God reveals himself as so in the Scripture. But this morning, instead of reading the entire chapter, what I'd like to have you do, particularly if you have your Bibles, if you don't have your Bible, or if you don't have a Bible, we certainly don't want you to leave without one. We'll give you one before you go if you don't have one of your own. But I'm not going to put these verses on the screen, but what I'm going to do is look at just the paragraph headings in this first chapter. And the paragraph headings are easy to come by because they begin, every one of them, with, "And God said." And so if you don't have your Bible, you can't follow along, but at least listen to how many times that's repeated at the beginning of every paragraph, "And God said," "And God said." So I'll begin at the very first sentence again. "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void. Darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the water." Verse 3, "And God said, let there be light. And there was light." Jump down to verse 6. "And God said, let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters. And God made the expanse and called the expanse heaven." Jump down to verse 9. "And God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered into one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. And so God created the earth and the sea." Jump down to verse 11. "And God said, let the earth sprout vegetation, plants yielding seed and fruit trees bearing fruit, each according to its kind. And it was so." Verse 14. "And God said, let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate day from night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years." Verse 20. "And God said, let the waters swarm with swarms of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the expanse of the heavens." Verse 24. "And God said, let the earth bring forth living creatures according to their kinds, livestock, creeping things, and beasts of the earth." Verse 26. "And God said, let us make man after our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion." And so God created man in his image. Verse 28. "And God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion." And then finally jump down to chapter 2, verse 1. "Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them, and on the seventh day God finished his work that he had done." Done in creation, that is, verse 3. Well, let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll give thought to this text this morning. But let's pray. Heavenly Father, we stand in awe of you. We stand in awe of your word. We tremble at your word. We understand your word has power and authority. And we understand that your word, you speak and you bring light. And you speak and you bring life. And we thank you that as Father, Son, and Spirit, you are active in creation, active in recreation, active in forming life from nothing and recreating life that you have made. So we stand in awe of you this morning. We ask that you would speak and that your word would fall on us and that we might hear from you, take you at your word, believe you, and build our lives upon your truth and upon yourself. So we ask for that kind of grace this morning. In the name of Jesus, amen. It's a curious thing today that much of the conversation around the origins of the heavens and the earth centers on something that is largely irrelevant in the biblical text. So much of the conversation concerning the origins of the heavens and the earth is spinning around the when question, as in, when did this begin? When did this all get its start? How old is everything? In other words, what is the birth date of the universe? And the biblical text, as we've just read it, spends less time there and more time with the who and the how and the why. And when you think about it, it's the who and the how and the why that are far more relevant than the when. For example, when you were born is less important than who you are and why you are here. When did this all get its start? Well, what does that matter? Why are we here? That seems relevant, and that seems relevant to everyone. What's life's purpose? That's far more important than how old is that sun shining out there in the sky. There's a sense in which, if you can tell me why we're here, I could care less about when it all began. For example, your birth date isn't all that meaningful when you're lying on your deathbed. When you're facing the end of your life, you're not concerned about when you're born. You want to know, does life have purpose? What's the meaning of all things? What's the meaning of life itself? You also want to know where you're headed, not just when you were born. And you want to know, is there more than just a beginning? When this all began is less relevant than why this all began. When this all began is less relevant than how this all began. And so much attention in recent times has been burned over this when question and attempting to date an undateable event. And it's frequently left out of the conversation the more pertinent matters of meaning and significance and relevance. So when some guy comes along and he says, well, hey, this rock is a million years old, why don't you just take the rock and bang him on the head and say, now, why does that matter? Because I think he'll probably tell you it does matter. And it wasn't right for you to hit him on the head with that thousand million year old rock. And you say, well, why is that if you're just a random chance of spinning materials and coming from nothing and going out into nothing? What does it matter? And when the guy comes along and he says, well, this rock is a million years old, why don't you just say, well, how old are you? And how long do you think you'll be around? Because that question has far more relevance than how old the rock is. You could stand there and debate with him the age of the rock, or you could just say, well, how old are you and how long are you going to be around? And he'll probably, I don't know what he'll do. Try it next time you go to the museum. That's the only time the conversation comes up. The Bible does answer the when question. And the answer to the when this all began is found in verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So that's the simple answer. When did this begin? Well, it began in the beginning. One thing we can say for sure is that as a human race, it all had a definite start. We know that as we read through our Bible, God is eternal and He doesn't have a beginning. We know as we read through our Bible that there were beginnings before this beginning. We know that from our Bible, and we've been there in recent weeks. We know that before the beginning, God was here, and He exists, and He was eternally active, sharing His love, enjoying His glory, making plans, establishing decrees, living in a harmonious relationship as Father, Son, and Spirit, planning on sharing His love and revealing His glory to the object of His creation, creating a race of angels that preceded our creation. There were beginnings before this beginning. You want to put dates on those beginnings? Do you want to reach back into eternity and say, well, when did God create the race of angels? We know what happened before this beginning. How much time do you want to spend there, and how fruitful would those conversations be? When the Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, it's referencing the beginning of our history. It's referencing the beginning of our story in the bigger story that is God's story. Genesis 1, 1 and 4, it is the beginning of the history of the human race and the beginnings of the heavens and the earth that God formed and then filled and ascribed value to and then placed man on as His image bearer. This isn't the beginning, for God has no beginning. This is the beginning of our story. This is the beginning of our history, and quite frankly, we're an auxiliary part in God's story. We're ancillary actors where God is the main actor. We're supplemental. We're not the main show. So the simple answer to the question, when did this all begin? The simple answer is, in the beginning. The more complex answer to the question, when did this all begin, is, this began in eternity. And it stretches out into eternity. Our history has a definite start, and it goes on everlasting, but it started with God. And the who is more important than the when. God is the subject of the beginning. He's not just the subject of the sentence. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. He's the subject of that sentence, but he's also the subject at the beginning, and he's more relevant than when the time it got started. He's the subject of the whole book. He ascribes meaning and value to all that follows. He's the center of history. He's the center of our story and the main purpose of our story. Knowing God, knowing him, is far more important than knowing when our story got started. Well, let me give you some quick answers that we see in the biblical text. When? When did this all begin? When did this get its start? In the beginning. It's not dated, and we're not given details that we might want to have. When did this all get started? It began in the beginning. Who got it started? God. God is in the beginning. He's before the beginning. He's at the beginning. He's at the end, and God has no end. He's the eternal one. We're the ones who have a beginning. He never did. How did he bring this all about? With the words of his mouth. God said, and it happened. How many times did we read that when we read through this chapter this morning? Looking at the paragraph heads, more than a dozen times. God said, and creation came about. That tells us God's word not only has power, but it also has authority. Remarkable. Why did he do it? For the praise of his glory. Before the foundation of the earth, God was planning on sharing himself and sharing his love and revealing his glory to the objects of his creation. The creation of the heavens and the earth comes from the overflow of God's greatness and of his goodness and of his glory. These aren't difficult questions, and these aren't complex answers. You could catechize yourself with these. Any of you go to catechism when you were younger? See, we think, oh, that's for the Catholics. We don't do that. Catechism is simply taking theology and putting it in question and answer format. And you would be wise to probably catechize your kids with these things. When did this all come about? It came about in the beginning. Who did it? God did it. How did he do it? With the words of his mouth. Why did he do it? For the praise of his glory. Do you need a PhD to understand that? This isn't hard. The questions aren't difficult and the answers aren't complex. The question that I want to press into this morning isn't up on the screen yet. And this one is, another very relevant question, because we understand that these questions and answers are very Christian, very biblical. When in the beginning? Who? God. How? With the words of his mouth. Why? For the praise of his glory. Well, how did you reach those conclusions? How did you get there? What's your starting place? What's your answer to that? See, our starting place is where the story starts. God spoke, and he revealed it as so. The God who spoke the worlds into existence spoke and revealed himself to us and to the world. We start with God and his revelation. We begin with God and his word. God has clearly revealed himself in creation. The heavens declare the glory of God. God has clearly revealed himself in the creation of man in his image. God has burned eternity on our hard drive. We know that God exists. God has revealed himself in written words, written down through time. God has revealed himself in the living word, his son, Jesus Christ. Our starting place is God and his revelation, God and his word. That means we didn't start with us and work upward. And we didn't start with us and work outward. We didn't start with us and work forward and backward. That means we didn't start with philosophy and science and ecology and economics and psychology and physiology and biology and physics and anthropology. We started with God and his revelation. And we understand that all other fields of human endeavor find their origin in God and in his world and in his creation. In other words, we don't fit God into our world. We fit into his world. And everything comes from him and is for him. In him we live and move and have our being. That's what Paul told the philosophers in Athens. In God we live and move and have our being, not the other way around. God doesn't live in our world. We live in his world. And he tells us what is, and he tells us what matters. We don't discover God like an astrologer discovers a new star. And we don't discover God like a chemist discovers a new subatomic particle. God reveals himself, or we wouldn't know him at all. God speaks using words, or we wouldn't know him nor understand him. So we begin with God. I can ask the question another way around. If you don't start with God, where are you going to start? If you don't start with an infinite eternal God, you start with an infinite eternal something else. What is that? Infinite chance? Infinite randomness? Infinite cosmos? Well, I'd ask a more pertinent question. How does your infinite something else line up with the infinite eternal God, who is personal, relational, loving, glorious, who ascribes meaning and value to all that he has made, providing a foundation for morality, ethics, creativity, beauty, scientific endeavor, engineering marvels, artistic glory, and even athletic competition? Who gives meaning and purpose and direction to the universe? Let me ask, where do you start? We unashamedly start with God. If you don't start with him, where do you start? We begin with God and his revelation. Well, I haven't gotten to my message yet this morning because I haven't got to my biblical text yet this morning. My biblical text doesn't come from Genesis 1:1 or Genesis 1:1 through 26. My biblical text this morning comes from a verse that some of you are memorizing. There's a group of people here in the church that gather together on Sunday afternoons and they're memorizing the book of Hebrews. And Hebrews 11:3 says this, "By faith, we understand that the universe was created by the Word of God." How do you understand the universe was created? By faith, we understand that the universe was created by the Word of God, so that what was seen, what is seen, was not made out of things that are visible. The preceding verse, or the preceding two verses, gives us a description of faith. Not a definition of faith, but a description. And it says this, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the people of old received their commendation." Biblical faith. By faith we understand the universe was created by the Word of God. Biblical faith is not blind optimism. Biblical faith is not a self-manufactured hope-so feeling. Biblical faith is not some intellectual assent to a doctrine or a truth. Biblical faith is not believing in spite of the evidence. That's superstition. Biblical faith is not speculation or superstition. Biblical faith is this: God speaks, we hear him, we trust his word, and we act upon it. And you can read the rest of Hebrews chapter 11, and that is exactly what you discover. Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, Rahab. Look through Hebrews chapter 11, which gives us more flesh on what biblical faith is. God speaks, we hear him, we trust his word, we act upon it. All these people, God spoke, they heard, they believed God, took him at his word, and acted upon his word. That's faith. By faith, we understand that the universe was created by the Word of God. In verse 1 and verse 2, we understand that faith provides the conviction or the evidence of things not seen, and faith gives an assurance of things hoped for. That means faith has both a backward and a forward orientation. By faith, we understand the universe was created by the Word of God. We weren't there. We didn't see it. God's word tells us that's how it happened. We believe God, we take him at his word, we trust his word, and we act upon it. By faith, we understand from John 1, Hebrews 1, Colossians 1, that Jesus is the word of God active in creation. By faith, we understand that God created a race of angels before our creation. How do you know angels came around before you? You know it because God told you. Where did God tell you? He told you in his word. That's the only way you know it. That's the only way you understand it. God spoke. We begin unashamedly with God and his word. God's word has, or faith has, a backward orientation. Not only do we think about creation and the creation of angels, but Jesus' death on the cross for our sin, for our forgiveness, and for our redemption. Jesus' resurrection from the dead, his ascension into glory. These all have a historical foundation that our faith rests upon. Our faith has a backward orientation. Faith provides the conviction of things not seen. Faith gives an assurance of things hoped for. Faith has a forward orientation. By faith, we look forward to the return of Jesus and the revelation of his glory and the consummation of our salvation and the resurrection of our body and a new heaven and a new earth where not only is the power of sin broken, but the presence of sin is no more. These are things that our faith rests in. By faith, like people of old, we take God at his word. We believe what he has said, we build our lives upon his truth, and we bank eternally on his promises. By faith, we walk with God, by faith, we please God, and by faith, we receive what he has promised us. Faith is not flimsy. It's foundational. And what we believe has historic foundation, and what we believe, according to this text, has future substance. We believe in creation and the cross, just like we believe in the resurrection and the new heaven and the new earth. And we are convicted of these things and we're certain of them because they have substance, and the substance is God himself. It's where we start. We start with God and what he has said. Well, regarding creation, by faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. When? In the beginning. Who? God. How? By the word of his mouth. Why? For the praise of his glory and for the good of humanity. This isn't difficult. It's not complex. It's not hard to explain. It's not impossible to comprehend. Creation is an article of faith. So if you want to spend time debating origins, just come to understand that you're debating faith positions. We start unashamedly with God and his word. That is the foundation. God, unashamedly, is our starting place. Now, undoubtedly, in the early service and here in the latter service, some of you may very well be responding to the message, well, I just don't believe that. I don't believe God created the universe out of nothing by the words of his mouth. I don't believe this is how it all began. I understand that. That just simply means you've decided to begin somewhere other than with God. Because this is where God has decided to begin revealing himself. This is his first impression as the creator who speaks and brings out of nothing everything. So if you're here this morning, you're like, well, I just don't believe that's how it happens. That just simply means your starting place is somewhere other than God who revealed himself this way as creator. And I'll humbly and graciously say, don't deceive yourself that you're believing in the God of the Bible if you don't believe here. Because if you want to start pulling out little blocks at the beginning, don't be surprised you have no foundation when you get to Jesus Christ and his resurrection. There won't be any foundation left there. This is God's front door, and he only has a front door. He doesn't have a back door or a side door. And God begins to reveal himself this way. And God spoke and there was light. And God spoke and there was life. And God spoke and he created earth and sky and sea. And God spoke. So if you're like, I just don't believe that, that's just understand you've decided to begin somewhere other than with God, who's revealed himself in his word. Some of you may be here this morning and here in the early service and responding, well, I don't believe this, but I want to believe it. You know, like me, you were raised in, you know, public school and you cut your teeth on a whole other worldview theory of origins. And you're like, well, I don't believe this, but I want to believe it. Well, I'll say two things to you. God gives faith and God requires faith. And one doesn't negate the other. God gives faith and we are responsible to believe and will be accountable to God for taking him at his word or not. God gives faith. I can say that. Faith is not of yourself, but a gift from God, Ephesians chapter 2. It's also appropriate to pray, help my unbelief. So, if you're here this morning, like, well, I don't believe, but I want to believe, my response to you would be, ask God for it, and then press into his word. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Know that God gives faith through his word and by his word. So begin by asking God to increase your faith, but don't remain passive. Begin pressing into God's word. Because God's word, this is amazing, is self-authenticating. And people who begin to read God's word become convinced and convicted of its truthfulness. And you won't reach that conclusion anywhere else. You can't start anywhere else. You won't start there with philosophy or science or anthropology, anywhere. We start unashamedly with God and with his word. So if you're here like, well, I don't believe, I want to believe, pray, ask God to increase your faith, and press. Press into God's word where he has definitively revealed himself for our good so that we might know him and enjoy him and glory in him forever. Finally, some of you are here this morning and you hear the message and you're like, I came believing and I've just had my faith encouraged that God is and God exists and God has been around eternally. He exists eternally and he's been eternally active. And God's word is powerful and God's word is authoritative and God created and God recreated through his son Jesus Christ. And you've come this morning and you've just been reminded that this is the foundation that you've been building your life upon. And I trust that you've been reminded that it is a solid foundation, for it is God himself and his word. We'll close out our service this morning by celebrating the Lord's table together. This table is for believers. This table is for people who take God at his word. Believe what hear God, take him at his word, believe him, and build their life upon him. Not only has God spoken in his word, but he has spoken in his living word, his son Jesus Christ, who came to reconcile us unto himself, to recreate us as broken and fallen people who have sinned against God. Christ came, sacrificed his body on a cross on this planet, the planet that he'd made. He came to his own, but his own did not receive him. But to those who do receive him, God gave the power to become his children. Remarkable. And so we gather around the table. And by faith, we celebrate Jesus Christ, crucified for sin, buried, risen, ascended, and returning. And if you have placed your faith in Jesus Christ, pledge your life to him like a bride does to a groom, well, then this table is for you, as we together celebrate our union with God through Jesus Christ. We're going to have the deaf service come and join us, and I'm going to close with a word of prayer, and then have the gentleman come and help me distribute the elements of this table. Heavenly Father, we come this morning, we stand in awe of you. We tremble at your word. Stand amazed who you are, what you've done. We thank you that not only have you created us, but you've redeemed us. And we worship you as creator and as redeemer. And we do so certainly around this table this morning, reminded that Jesus Christ is the co-creator, all things made by him and for him and through him. He's also the one who came into this earth that he'd made for a purpose of reconciling it back to you. We thank you for your love, your kindness, your grace extended to us in Jesus Christ. And we gather around this table to remember his body broken for us, his blood spilt for our sin, his death, his resurrection, his ascension, and with eyes of faith and confident certainty, we look forward to his return when we'll celebrate this together with you forever. What a joy. Bless now the elements of this table and those who partake of it. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.